And you have to understand this. This is the worst part. Colby, this is going to lose us some subscribers. This is funny because, like, I wrote my book, right?
Right.
And this is a whole thing that happened during that whole process that I never talk about. Like, I had an arrest I never mentioned in the book because the book's already like 90, it's like 100, and it's like over 100,000 words. It's a 330 page book. And it's like, it's just out. It's long because there was so much fraud. And right. there's other things that are happening. There's relationships and dating different girls and doing whatever. So, you know, you have to kind of say, what frauds do you want to focus on? So there's a little section that I like removed. Well, I was like, you know, that's just more of the same. Don't even mention it. So I'm going to mention this fraud. And I've never actually talked about this fraud. I mean, I've never really talked about it. You've heard it.
Okay.
I'm sure you've heard about when we were locked up. Like, I've told you this story. But nobody else's. I've never talked about it on Concrete or anything. So, like, Valuetainment, none of those shows I talked about it. Matter of fact, like, American Greed, all those shows never covered this. So what happened was one time, and it's funny because I was anyway, there was this guy who was, I want to say his name was Walter Bean. That sounds familiar.
Sound familiar. Like
that. Bro, like that's how long ago and how much fraud there
that
is.
That was the identity you were.
Yes.
Well, okay, no, I heard the story.
Okay, I stole the guy. He was a drug dealer.
Right.
So I had a friend by the name of Johnny Moon whose father used to live with this guy and buy drugs from this guy, right? So, you know, he was a drug addict. So one of his customers stayed on his couch a few times. So Johnny Moon was a friend of mine. He knew where this guy lived. And we drove by the house one day and he goes, hey, he said, you see that house right there? I said, yeah. He said, the name of that guy, that guy's Walter Bean. He actually, it's funny, he goes, he owns that house right there. He's a drug dealer. And he goes, in his nice house, it was worth whatever, like, I'm going to say $200,000. I forget exactly what the amount of the house was, but it's worth a couple hundred thousand. I was like, it wasn't a great area.
Right.
But I was like, oh, nice. And so we were driving it and I thought, huh. So he's a drug dealer. He's a drug dealer that owns that house. I said, does he own it free and clear? And he goes, I don't know. He might. I think so. He goes, I think his parents bought it for him. He goes, to be honest, he was like, his parents have money or something. My dad told me, I forget.
Right.
And I remember thinking, he goes, but he's been arrested a bunch of times. Like, that's all he does is sell drugs. And I thought, what a great victim. Like, if you have to rob somebody, you know, if you have to cause somebody some problems and do something, like, do it to a criminal. Do it to somebody that they're not going to look that. We're not going to run around and try and solve your crime, Mr. Drug Dealer. somebody encumbers the title to your home and caused you a bunch of problems and borrowed some mortgages. Like, we're not going out of our way for you. So what I
ironic you got arrested on that, but go ahead.
So that property, it's so funny because I went downtown, I searched the title, and there was there was no mortgage on it. It had been bought free and clear.
Wow.
And so I look up the house. I look in public records, there is no mortgage. So I go and I created another identity. Or did I find his social security number? I don't know. Oh, I know what it was. I looked up his arrests.
Yes.
And I found his social security. He'd been arrested so many times over such a long period of time that if you actually went and you actually got their arrest record, it actually had his social security number like written on it or something. I forget. You know what, a lot of times, the Freedom of Information Act, listen to this. A lot of times they would actually take white out, you know, the white out sticks,
yeah.
And they would white out the so you white out, not just, you can scratch it off. They would actually go, oh, here's this police report from 1995, and they take like a whiteout stick and they go right over your social security number, and then they mail it to you. And then I just there you go, 2770, you know. So somehow or another, I think I got his social security number. It's so long ago, I can't remember. Regardless, I came up with a credit profile for him. I think it wasn't great credit, whatever, but he did own a house worth $200,000. So then I applied for several mortgages in his name. I had a buddy of mine. This is how I get caught, by the way. I have a buddy of mine who was an appraiser. His name was Robert Toma.
Right.
Robert Toma then did an appraisal on the house. Never went in the house, used pictures from other houses, put it together. And then I actually, instead of using Robert Thoma's appraiser, he doesn't want to be listed as the appraiser. I used the appraisal of another person, another appraiser. I'm going to fast forward because this is whatever. The point is that I borrowed like three mortgages on this house, probably $150,000 on each mortgage, whatever, like $400,000. I went and opened up bank accounts in his name. And then I borrowed the money, went to closings, got the money, put the money in the bank, and was removing money from the bank. While I was removing money from the bank, what ended up happening was one of those mortgage companies saw the appraisal, and one thing was off on the appraisal. It said, instead of it saying it was in an urban area, it said it was in a rural area. So they contacted the original appraiser to ask him if he could change that. And he said, I didn't do that appraisal. And guess what? He happened to be a retired sheriff's deputy. Well, retired sheriff's detective or investigator, whatever they call them. He contacted them, contacted their fraud department. They looked into the whole thing. They came back. They set up a sting. They follow me from one of the banks. They staked out the like the UPS store that I, at that time it was called, they were called mailboxes, et cetera.
Right.
Had a mailboxes, et cetera. I went to in the middle. I used to go to it like 11 o'clock at night. I'd drive there when it was closed. You had to have a key to get in. You open your box, you get your box. They were there staking it out. They follow me for a couple of days. They arrest me. Here's how they arrest me. By the way, they staked out my office too. So they were staking out my office, and I was getting a divorce, and I was thinking, that car's been over there a while. So I actually had one of my mortgage brokers actually said, I'm gonna go find out who it is. He walked over to the car that was parked in the parking lot, watching it, like been there for days.
Right.
You know, different cars, but it was always like, you could tell it was like, that's a cop just sitting in the car.
Right.
He walked over one day, walks up to the window, and the guy's just staring at him. He rolls the window down and he goes, excuse me. He said, now you've been sitting here for days. What's going on? The guy goes, why are you approaching me? He goes, I'm approaching you because you're in the parking lot. He was actually across the street from our parking lot.
Right.
He goes, you've been sitting in the parking lot. We think you might be watching our place. What's going on? The guy goes, don't approach me again. Walk away. Go back to your office. Do you understand what I'm saying? He goes, hey, bro, what's going on? The guy flashes a badge and he says, none of your business. What's going on? Go. And so the guy walks back. That guy was Dominic Ferreira. That was one of my brokers. So he walked over there. So he comes back, whatever. So I remember that. A day or two later.
When Dominic brought that news to you, what did you do?
You know what I thought?
What?
I thought that they were staking out another one of the businesses. Or I thought maybe it's like when Dominic said he flashed a badge. He's like an investigator. Dominic said he might be a private investigator.
Right.
Like maybe he's not a cop.
Right.
He didn't say, he said, I didn't really see what the badge said. He said, I just left. He seemed like serious. So we started thinking maybe my ex-wife or my soon-to-be ex-wife was having me followed. Because it was that kind of a divorce. It wasn't an amicable divorce.
Right.
So I was like, man. So I was like, okay. So I'm still not thinking I'm in trouble. I didn't feel like I was in trouble until one day I went to go check my box. And I was driving back in my car at an Audi TT Quattro when they had first come out. Loved that car. So I'm driving this little Audi and I noticed, it was a buddy of mine was with me and he said he noticed somebody was following me. Right. I actually got into a high speed chase with the cops. But here's the funny thing. You know how I knew the cops were following me? We got on I-75 because I was checking, the box was in Brandon, which is like a 20 minute drive from Tampa. It's another city outside Tampa. And so my office was in Tampa. So I got on I-75 and as I'm driving down I-75, he's like, I think that car back there is following us, bro. They've been here for this long. I saw him over here. I think that's a car. I was like, really? So I pulled over and just stopped. The car pulled over and stopped.
Get out of here.
So now we've got this.
He made it that obvious?
That obvious. Like, but they're just like, I'm like, oh my God. So I was like, oh my God. The other day, one of my brokers, there was somebody parked across the street. And I tell him, I'm like, the guy, they went out and then they checked and he said he was an investigator. And he showed a badge. And of course, this guy sitting next to me is like, what am I hanging out with you for? What's going on? You're an arch criminal. What are you doing? I'm like, he's like, well, what happened? I'm like, oh man. Okay, so there's this guy. I borrowed like three mortgages on his house. I've been taking the money out. He already knows I'm all corrupt. And he's like, fuck. I remember he goes, how do you think of these things? He's like, I mean, I was like, bro, I got bigger problems than breaking this down. Well, how exactly did you? I got an issue. We're sitting on the side of the road yelling at each other. So I drive off. The car comes up behind me, keeps going, follows us. No problem. Now we realize like there's two cars. So I try and lose them, right? At one point, I think I lose them. And then we see another car. And we're like, okay, then I race around in the back. So I'm really racing around at this point. And then at one point, I think I've lost both of them. But then when I go back to the office, I pull up in the office. One of them's like already at the office. And another one pulls up. And it's like, okay, they're doing some kind of chase you down thing that I don't know how to do. And doesn't matter anyway, because they already know where I'm at. And one of those cars was the car that was across the street. Like, I'm done. So at the end of the day, I go to pick up my son. I jump in my car. I take off. I'm driving down these little back roads, driving around a little lake. Like there are back roads, you know, in Florida. Like there's lots of little, you can have a major city and then in between intersections, there's just these little tiny back roads that are around little ponds and they're in the middle. And so I'm kind of driving fast and everything. And I realize they're behind me. And then as I'm going, I'm like, oh shit, this guy's behind me. I'm going to pick up my son. I don't want this guy, I don't want to be this guy chasing me around with my son in the car. And I'm like,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh man, I remember looking at him and looking up and this car pulls up in front of me. And then there's a, next thing I know, sheriff, like boom, boom. I'm like, I lock up. I'm like, holy man, bro. This is like three or four cop cars. There's a couple undercover cars. They jump out, they pull their guns. They do the whole thing.
All on a mortgage.
All because of a couple of mortgages and an identity theft. So here's what I found out had happened. What had happened was this. When they found out the whole thing, they actually went to Walter Bean. I really want to say it is Bean.
Yeah, it was Bean.
So Walter, they went to Walter Bean. They actually, because he's a drug dealer, they brought him downtown. They questioned him. They insisted it was him. They were ready to throw him in jail. He's screaming it's not him. He doesn't know anything about it. They search his house. They really put like this guy through hell. And they come back but they let him go because they were like, we couldn't find anything. And you have to understand this. This is the worst part. Colby, this is going to lose us some subscribers. So here's the worst part. Keep in mind, this guy's a scumbag, okay?
Oh, okay.
So he's a scumbag. So don't judge me on this. I don't want to hear any crap. Fuck you, okay? I was in a bad time. It was a bad time.
He was selling drugs to kids.
He's selling drugs to kids.
There you go.
And pregnant women. Hard drugs, like marijuana and ecstasy. Right. No, I'm just joking. I don't know what he was selling. Anyway, so my goal, you know what I was going to do?
What?
Oh, God, this is so bad, bro. Colby's laughing. So the appraisal's in his name. Everything's in his name.
So they think it's him all the way.
I just took his idea. Yeah, but you know, luckily for him, the people that I'd gone to the closing with are all basically, when they're being shown a picture of him, they're like, that they can't ID him. That might be him, might not. I don't think so. I don't know. He was significantly older than me. At that point, I was in my early 30s. He was in his late...
He's a white guy?
Yeah, mid to late 50s, though.
And so they're thinking that you are the guy that came to the closing? They're thinking is the guy that came to the closing?
Initially, but nobody could ID him. But they're trying to ID him off of, you saw this guy a month ago. And in a little black and white picture that's been copied multiple times now. So it's like, it's not him. It could be him. He could be working with him. Like, they don't know.
Right.
He probably knows him. So he's involved in it. He's been in state prison 3 or 4 times. He's been arrested 15 times. I mean, you know, he's involved. It's a scam. So I was literally, my whole plan when I had gotten all the money out, and I'd gotten out a couple $100,000. When I'd gotten out the whole thing, my plan had been to take the appraisal and mail it to him. Think about it. If you own a house and you get an appraisal in the mail that you ordered,
right,
on your house. Everything was his name, his name, his name. And is it a full appraisal? You wouldn't throw it out. Like if you just got it from some random appraiser, right. He didn't even have to have a return address.
Right.
I just stick it in your mailbox. You're not going to throw it out.
So he would have kept that, and that would have raised the value of his property.
Raised the value? What are you talking about? When the cops had searched his house, they found the appraisal. Think about it. That's the appraisal.
You're putting a nail in his coffin.
Oh, it was worse than that. I had bought dummy cell phones. I was going to take the dummy cell phones, wipe them down, and I was going to leave them in his front door, like in a box. If you walked out your front door and you saw a cell phone, a brand new cell phone in a box, are you not going to pick it up and throw it in the garbage? You're going to take it inside. You're going to think somebody delivered this by accident. Right. I need to keep this. What if they come by? And keep in mind, he's a scumbag. He's most likely going to pull it out and fucking open it and try and use it or maybe sell it, whatever. He's going to keep it. Like I was basically going to take a lot of this stuff and drop it off at his house. Most people are going to pick it up and bring it inside so that I knew if he ever got his house got searched, which I assumed it would be, they're going to find a lot of the stuff that he says he doesn't know anything about. You had the appraisal. You had like the laptop, I had a laptop I had bought specifically, and I'd written up all the documents on the laptop. So you've got a laptop in your house that has all the documents on it.
Right.
Everything's in your name. You've got the cell phones that were all used. And could you imagine him sitting there with the cell phone on him and the cops are like, so you don't know anything about this? No, I don't. And they call the number and he goes, oh, hold on a second. I got to call. Yes. I mean, they'd be like, yeah, what? Oh, why are you calling me? This is the number that was used. Oh, no. See, what happened was someone dropped this off at my front door. I've been using the phone. Sure you have. I mean, he would have been, look, the fake pay stubs that I had made were on the laptop that he had. So, I mean, he's going to have some splaining to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's going to be an issue.
Right.
For old Walter. And don't judge me, okay? I know you guys out there, you're judging me. You're saying, what a scumbag. Stop it, okay? This isn't a school teacher. Anyway, point is, what happened was I did get arrested prior to being able to.
So they arrested you that day that they followed you and through the.
Yeah, it's actually, it was like the day they, the day they tracked me. They arrested me. Okay. They grabbed me, they handcuffed me. I remember when they searched my car. At the time, I had a concealed weapons permit. So they find a gun. But I have a concealed weapons permit. They find bullets. Like when they're like grabbing all this stuff and they're like, this is what cracked me up. When they're grabbing all this stuff, they're like, oh, weapon. Boom. That's an extra this much. Oh, you got a bullet. You got bullets. Oh, that's an extra this much. And I want the concealed weapons permit. Bro, what are you talking about? Like it's in my wallet. You know, I mean, they're like, oh, like how did they, I always wondered about this. How did you do all this research into me, arrest me, and not know I didn't have a concealed weapons permit? Like, you would think that would come up. But anyway, that's the whole thing about the government. The left hand doesn't always know what the right hand's doing.
Well, true, but they didn't know who you were.
Well, at that point, they had my car. They knew my tag. They're going to my office. They're going to a mortgage office.
Yeah.
Like, they know mortgages are involved.
They just know you from going to the box.
They knew me from following me in my car. And I thought, had that one box had urban instead of rural on it, and they not had to call that appraiser.
You would have got away with that, Scott.
Oh, I would have gotten away. Because think about it. By the time I got the money out, I never go back to the box. So by the time 2 months later when these lenders start to foreclose on this guy, and he goes to the police and says, look, these guys are, this is what happened. I don't know what's going on. By that point, I'm never, you know, the only things they had was they had a UPS box,
right,
mailboxes, et cetera. You know, they've got a couple, they've got like an abandoned address where I was also getting mail, but it was a house I had no association with, but it was a clean house. It was up for sale or it's for rent that I would get cards to. I'd even had stuff mailed to his house and drove by and opened the thing and grabbed it out of his box. Like knew when it was coming, went and got it. So I've even got stuff being mailed to your house. I mean, and even if he had gone to them and said, hey, I'm being foreclosed on, I don't have anything to do with it. And they go, do you mind if we look around through your house? Sure, no problem. He's not smart enough to realize the appraisal that I got in the mail a month ago or 2 weeks ago or 2 months. He's not smart enough to know that. He's not smart enough to realize, hey, that laptop that I got, somebody left. He's not going to be thinking any of that.
Right, right.
My point is, he's going to basically, oh, yeah, you can look around. Sure. They're going to be like, oh, nice laptop. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Like, he's not going to say, oh, I found it and I've been using it. You know, right, he's a scumbag.
Yeah, he wouldn't even associate that.
Right. He doesn't know, people don't know how the process works and they don't understand. He feels like, I haven't done anything, so of course I'm going to be an open book.
Right.
Not realizing the law enforcement will take the path of least resistance. Right. We have enough to convict you. Does it look like it's possibly not you? Yeah, we think you could be set up, but no way a jury believes that. Arrest them. Like, they don't care.
Right.
We got, you know, it's like, grab somebody. Right. Round up the usual suspects.
Right.
Anyway, they took me down. When they arrest me, they put me in the back of the car. They take me downtown. They process me. That was the first time I'd ever been arrested. That was rough. Because I was cocky. I was kind of cocky at first.
Right.
But then you spend that first night in jail.
You had to spend the night?
Oh, I spent like two or three. Keep in mind, there's like $200,000-$300,000 missing. So they're not saying, oh, there's $20,000. There's like $400,000 in mortgages, right? There's like $150,000. There's like $450,000.
Wow.
And I was still draining the accounts, but I still had a couple hundred thousand. So there's
Well,
I had to tell them where it was. They did seize it, but I also had to tell them like where it was, because a lot of the money was like in cash. Like, I had some money in cash. Listen, they actually had brought me to, I had opened up a bank account and a safety deposit box. They brought me.
Yes, they know that stuff.
They brought me there.
To open it.
So the bank, when the bank opens, I'm there with two cops, walking in with two cops. You imagine, how does that feel? In somebody else's name. Like, this isn't even my name.
So they did that.
Yes, they walk me in there. We go in, we sign it, we open the box. They open the box, they look, they're like, boom, there's all this cash in there. There's all kinds of stuff in there. They're like, oh, they took everything. Took everything.
So you bonded out. They arrested you, bonded out.
Paid the money.
Whatever happened to that case?
I was placed on probation. I gave them all the money back, so I'm good. But the thing is, keep on, I was at that point, like, I needed to stop that case. For a very specific reason, I was running additional scams. So I'm at that point, I borrowed money in the name. I was already borrowing the money in the name of Lee Black, of
green.
Yeah, blue, green, yellow, silver. Like, I'm already running another scam. You just happened to catch me on this scam.
On the bean.
Like, what do you need me to do? Like, I got to shut this down as quick as possible. And the whole time I'm lying to them. They're like, any other, nope, nothing. This is it. You got me. You got me, coppers. What do I need to do to get probation? So I get probation. And this is the thing, too. Like, I can't – there's not like I can cooperate. It was just me running the scam. Like, the only involvement of anybody else was Johnny Moon, who didn't even know what's going on. I'm driving by. Hey, look at that. And I thought, Rolodex. Put that in my mental Rolodex. Look that guy up. Like, so Johnny Moon knew about a lot of the scams, but he didn't really – wasn't involved in that scam, you know. So it's – I'm the only person involved. So I paid him back immediately and pled guilty.
You didn't include that in the story, but I do remember that.
Yeah, so. I didn't include it because it's in and of itself. It's irrelevant in the context. Like, there's lots of little scams I was running. Like, do I talk about the one scam where I did this and I made $80,000? Right. No, it's silly. Like, that's five pages. That story I just told you just now, that's an extra 30 pages in a book. I'm right. already at 330 pages. It's not like I don't already have enough good stuff.
Right, right.
Like, that's just stupid. That's right. That right there is a whole crime. That's a whole story in and of itself.
Right.
Instead, I already had tons of those stories. So, plus, I got arrested by the local cops. It was embarrassing. It's the local cops. It wasn't feds.
It wasn't anything spectacular.
Yeah, it's the locals, and it was embarrassing. I got arrested by the locals. I mean, come on. Seriously? It's a little shame.
Understood.
I felt like I don't commit state crimes. It's embarrassing.
And I thought that's all I committed was state crimes.